Gentlemen, start your engines.
Tune up your motorsports knowledge. Power Up Motorsports Channel.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing's son is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Pit Pass USA. Glad to have you on board tonight for the program. We're going to cover a lot of territory tonight. We're going to cover NASCAR. We'll be talking with NASCAR Nationwide Series driver Colin Brown, who the last 2 weeks has been out of his car with Roush Fenway, with Matt Kenseth in. He'll be back in this weekend. We'll cover the NHRA, talk to Warren Johnson, who'd been over 3 years without a win in pro stock, but he got one last time out in St. Louis. Clay Milliken, Top Fuel dragster, well, his race shop's been underwater. You see the race shops in Tennessee. We'll talk to him about that. And, of course, beginning this weekend, practice begins for the Indianapolis 500 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And this year, there is a melding together of the Andretti family. Michael Andretti, of course, has Andretti Autosport. And his cousin, John Andretti, will be driving one of his cars with Richard Petty as the co-owner of that machine at the Indianapolis 500. And John Andretti joins me now. John, welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Congratulations on heading back to Indianapolis with the King. Last year you were with a different team. This time you're teamed up with your cousin Michael. What's that going to be like for you?
Well, I can tell you so far it's been great. Obviously we did Kansas, and the whole organization, the Andretti Autosport team, is just really welcomed me in, and they've really supported me. We actually got the test before Kansas, doing the race, and working with all the teammates. They're really a great group of people. Danica, Marco, Tony, and Ryan, and they've all won in the IndyCar series. So it's not like I've got a lot of people that I can look to and lean on to really help me. And hopefully at Indianapolis, I can take advantage of all that. But driving for a team that's won the Indianapolis 500 twice already in just its short history is something really special to me. And obviously, the part that Michael and I are really close, and we've talked about this for a long time, makes it even more special.
Well, you mentioned Kansas, where you raced just a week or so ago, and that was, what, your first time in an IndyCar in about a year, and you wind up ninth. You got to be really happy with that.
I am. It's one of those bittersweet finishes where, in all honesty, I think I was glad that I just finished and then, put the thing into the fence. But on the other side, it's where you look at it and you say, I gave up something there, or we could have did better there. And a lot of it was the reason why we did Kansas, so that I could sort of get the speed with not only the race team, but also with doing the things that are so critical to winning a race, which is pit road and restarts and all those things that you never practice during practice. And that's the reason why we talked about Kansas and really focused on Kansas. The other part was to get used to the race team, to work with the engineering staff, to work with the drivers, and to kind of get into the mold of what they do, so that when we hit the ground running at Indy, it's seamless. And the other part, too, is Indy's a shorter time period now, too, so we wanted to be even more prepared.
How much was it also getting reacclimated to an IndyCar, because you've been racing over in NASCAR?
Actually, it comes right back to you. It's one of those things where you go out, you get in it, and you realize that it's just another race car, and you drive it to its limit. And so I think that, for me, it's almost a natural transition, and it's not been something that I've ever had difficulty with.
Time with John Andretti here on Pit Pass USA, going to be racing in the Indianapolis 500, driving for his cousin Michael Andretti, and Richard Petty involved with you again. What's it like, and the special relationship you obviously have with the King?
Well, since I drove for Petty Enterprises for such a long period of time, and during that time I got to spend so much time with the family, the Petty family, that is, and I have a huge amount of respect for them. and their integrity, their giving, their everything, the way they think and do business is something that they do with compassion. And I admire people like that. It's one thing to be a champion and because you won races. Another one, which I think is much more difficult, is to do it outside the racetrack. And their family is wonderful, and I got really close with them. Of course, you know, and a sad note, I mean, we're coming up on the 10th year that the passing of Adam, and Adam was really close to us as well and close to my kids. And so, you know, I always treated them like they were part of my family, and they treat everybody like they're part of their family. So it's a real natural fit, and I love being around Richard. Obviously, the association with Richard is something really special, and I think that it's awesome to be able to bring the king of NASCAR to the Indianapolis 500, because whether Indianapolis is the biggest race in your book or it's, you know, the Daytona 500 or whatever, it's still a big event, and having Richard there just is something that I think needed to happen in a lot of ways, and I'm just really proud that I get to carry the 43.
Well, also, if you go back to, the days when your uncle, when Mario was running at Indianapolis, a lot of the NASCAR guys ran at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I mean, you just go down through the charts, they would show up there, and it's kind of neat to see Richard. And Richard always, he always seemed to drop in from time to time in the month of May to check things out, because he's a racer. And to see you with him, and also with the entire Andretti family, with Michael's involvement as a car owner, it brings together two great racing families.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no question about it that one thing is having Richard and I together, but another one is Bill and Michael in the mix and the whole Andretti group. And the piece that's glued it all together, of course, is Window World. Window World has supported all this, put it all together, and actually Window World is on Marco's car as well now. So it's a real family gathering in a lot of ways, because the Window World family has been wonderful people to deal with, and you know, they're the perfect fit for what we do with the Petty family, with the Andretti family. And so, I don't know. I'll tell you what, if somebody said, how can you make it better? I'm not sure that I could figure out a way to make it any better for me anyway.
We're talking with John Andretti here on Pit Pass USA. He'll be driving in the Indianapolis 500 for Andretti Autosport. Michael Andretti, his cousin, is the owner, and Richard Petty also involved with that. And, John, when you go back through, this will be your 11th start, barring something unforeseen happening at the Indianapolis 500. And you had that run right in the early 90s where you had some great finishes. I think you had a fifth and eighth and a couple of tenths when you're driving for A.J. Foyt. Now with Andretti Autosport and considering their history and the quality of machinery, do you feel you have a very legitimate chance at winning the Indianapolis 500?
I think that the best I can think of myself as being is a dark horse, but a solid dark horse, because the competition is so tough. The teams are so tough. Just thinking about it, I got to beat four teammates that are going to be in the same equipment as me. And then you've got, of course, the Penske's, which is three more cars, and the Ganassi cars, and then all the other teams that have the quality drivers and quality equipment. So, but I think from the standpoint of, John, is this your best chance maybe at the Indianapolis 500? I've never driven for a team that's won the race. And although I've driven for some great teams and some wonderful people, this team has actually won the race, and I think it makes a big difference between being with somebody that knows how to get to victory lane and has been to victory lane than really wanting to get there. So hopefully I've got John Anderson calling my race, and he's the one that called the other two victories for Andretti Autosport. So I'm pretty excited about that, and I started my IndyCar career with John Anderson, so we're kind of going full circle all the way back to the beginning again, which is cool for me.
And John Anderson is kind of a character. He's got to be fun to work with.
You know, he is great fun. I don't know if I understand him on the radio yet. I used to understand him better, but with that Australian accent, he's a bit tough, but, you know, mate, we'll get it.
Absolutely. Hey, John, are you going to settle on one series? Are you going to be, you're kind of a vagabond, but you do this, you do that. I know at Kansas, I think you've raced in everything known to mankind at Kansas Speedway when you added the IndyCars there a few weeks ago. I think the Truck Series, the Nationwide, Sprint Cup, Indy Cars. There might have been another one thrown in there somewhere too along the way. But are you looking at settling in one series? Is it going to be you're going to I'll race some over in NASCAR, run some over here, and kind of do it on your own terms?
I'll tell you what started all that. This and in a roundabout way, I'll answer your question is, and when I was looking at maybe leaving IndyCar when it was CART to venture out and do a lot of different things, I went out and I raced in 14 different kinds of race cars the following year, which included from Top Fuel dragsters to 24 Hours of Daytona, Indianapolis 500, all the races. And that was my first venture into NASCAR. And I really enjoyed that. I like the challenges. Each series presents something totally different. I mean, you talk about these drivers that have come over from IndyCar to NASCAR, and they're in the third or fourth year, and they're just almost coming to terms with it. To me, I think you need to come to terms with it really quickly, and I enjoy that challenge, and I enjoy fighting for that challenge. And so, therefore, at this stage in my career, I get the pleasure of kind of walking around and doing what I want to do, I think. And it doesn't mean that I get to do everything I want to do. But on the other side, I also want to spend more time at home with my family. Last year, I ran the full Sprint Cup Series and the Indy 500. And, I really miss my family because they were home and I was traveling all the time. And my kids are getting older and I want to spend time with them. So you'll probably see me be, would you call me a vagabond? So I'll probably be that. I call myself more of a mutt, a little bit of everything. I got a little bit of everything in me, and I like doing that. I think that, to me, I think that I'm blessed to get to do that because I even mentioned this the other day. You think about it, Jeff Gordon's never going to know what an IndyCar felt like or race in the Indianapolis 500 unless he says, okay, I'm just going to do that, which I don't know that he will, and yet my career is kind of taking me to all those places. Doesn't mean that Jeff Gordon couldn't get the opportunity to do it. Just means that at this stage in his career, why would he? He's got nothing to prove. And so, for me, I can jump around and I can be excited about doing all of it. And whether other people are excited about me doing it or not, is important to me, but it's not going to be my driving force. It's going to be that I get to have fun, and how many people in life get to have fun doing what they're doing.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. They always say, make what your passion is your job. And you seem to have the passion for racing in various series. You ever think that maybe the King and you would team up and somehow do a Top Fuel dragster run somewhere? Say, let's say the U.S. Nationals at Indianapolis.
I'll tell you what, never say never. That's never gone out of my mind, is doing the U.S. Nationals again and going back. And obviously, if you do the Daytona 500 and you do the Indianapolis 500, why not? So you never know what's around the corner, but that would be exciting for sure.
Oh, I'm sure. And all the fans in Indianapolis, as you know, would head out there to Claremont and go out to, I want to call it Indianapolis Raceway Park. I'm an old-timer with that that name there. It's actually where I took my Skip Barber Racing School many, 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 many years ago. Out at IRP, now ORP, but it's a great place, and I'm really glad that you're having a good time. I do wish you the best of luck. The Andretti family is way overdue for some good luck at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. There is no question about that, and hope it all goes well for you in May.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think of anything from our family standpoint could be cooler than an Andretti winning an Andretti car in the Indianapolis 500. So I hope that Marco and I can do that for Michael. If not, I hope one of my other teammates does it for Michael.
That is John Andretti, the cousin to Michael Andretti, and he will be running at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Richard Petty there with the team, the number 43 car, Michael Andretti, Andretti Autosport. It's going to be very interesting to see, and they start practice this Sunday down at Indianapolis. Next up, we'll turn our attention to the NHRA. We'll talk to the winningest pro stock driver in history. But it took him over 3 years to get a win last time out in St. Louis. Warren Johnson next on Pit Pass USA.
Power Up, your motorsports channel. See it, read it, feel it. What's it like behind closed garage doors, where the decisions are made that change motorsports? You'll find out on The Race Reporters, because host Michael Knight has been there. He's a 40-year industry insider and award-winning writer and publicist. Each week, Knight brings together the country's top journalists and newsmakers, and their insights will make you a better race fan. The Race Reporters, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Want to join our pit crew? Are you a motorsports expert? Jump into the driver's seat and get your voice heard. To learn more about our broadcasting opportunities, contact us at 480-294-6417. That's 480-294-6417. Or email us at info@voiceamericanetwork.com. That's info@voiceamericanetwork.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
Well, this weekend, the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series is off. Next up, they'll be going to Atlanta. But last time out, my next guest wound up taking home the Wally. It had been quite a while since he had done that. In fact, all the way back to 2006. But he's had a lot of wins throughout his career. He is the winningest driver in pro stock. Warren Johnson joining me. Warren, congratulations on getting the win.
Thank you very much, Larry.
As I said, a long time since you'd gotten the Wally. Were you ever wondering if you're going to get another one of those?
Well, yeah, it's been a long time. We really didn't worry if we are or are not going to get another Wally. What we looked at was just getting our race program stabilized to the point that we could race a little more effectively. And it's coming around slowly, but there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. There's a lot of teams, you know, out there, of very talented groups that, you know, got ahead of us a little bit from where we were, 10 years ago. So it's just a matter of, picking up the pace and getting on with the race.
But you had won so many times. You are the winningest driver in the NHRA in pro stock, and I think the win at St. Louis now, if my math is right, and my math is not the best in the world, I think you're up to 97 career wins. So you were used to winning a lot.
Your math is correct. Yeah, we had a heyday in the 1990s, starting actually in the late 80s and all the way through the 90s, and our last championship was 2001. So, we had a pretty healthy dozen years or so there, and we got a little off with doing a lot of experimenting, trying a lot of things, and, it obviously didn't bear any fruit, but at the same time, we didn't lose our focus of what we need to do, and I think we're slowly getting back on track.
Was it ever tough to go to the racetrack, when you're going through a streak like that?
Well, I'm sure every baseball player goes through it, and every, sports personality goes through a dry slump. This one is obviously quite long, but, I looked at some of the Cups statistics. There's guys that haven't won for 10 years out there and are still running.
It's
a case that, it's just one of those things, and you just work your way through it.
Yeah, and there's some guys that have never won a race and still are racing in some series and actually driving for some pretty good teams. So I guess that, that's kind of the way it goes. If you can go out there and at least be in the hot week in, week out, people are going to pay attention.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, you're not going to win every race. That just isn't going to happen. You could lose every race if you allowed it to happen. So there's somewhere in between that there's got to be a comfort zone that you can operate in.
Also at St. Louis, it was kind of interesting just going back and looking through the ladders and watching round by round. I think one of them you won on a hole shot, and you're not noted for reaction time per se. And then, as often happens, a guy here or a guy there had a little bit of a problem during the race, but it doesn't matter. You still got to go down there and go down the drag strip and get to the other end before the other person and get the hole shot and everything else.
Well, yeah, you got to be able to stage and got to be able to ready to race at the same time. And I'd have to say it was probably the most bizarre set of circumstances that I've ever had happen to me. You know, I've obviously had it happen in the other direction, so you're going to get a little bit of good with the bad if you're persistent enough. And that day, it just started to balance itself out, I guess. You know, the only thing, the only place that I really missed, I should have gone bought a truckload of lotto tickets, because with that luck, I sure as heck would have hit the lotto, too.
Well, somebody actually just won that big lottery of $200 and some million, and he had just gotten fired like 2 weeks ago. His job disappeared, so maybe you should have bought a ticket real quick.
That's hindsight.
Yeah, absolutely. How much has the pro stock division changed over years? You were talking about you tried some things for a while and it didn't quite work out the way you wanted, but I'm sure it's changed and evolved an awful lot.
Oh yeah, it evolves basically every weekend, because you're changing stuff constantly, trying to chase that elusive performance level. And I would say if you can make one gain out of 10 tries, you're probably ahead of the curve, because right now you're incrementally looking for such small gains in power. It's basically like a restrictor place racing. If you find three or four, man, you've done a good job that month.
Yeah.
And so you have to take what you have, and I think the biggest area that you have to cultivate is getting that power to the ground. That seems to be have a lot more bearing on the performance level and the consistency. So that's one area that we've been starting to concentrate on probably a little bit more than we have in the past, because a few years ago, I could just go out there, if they were within a car length or two of me, I'd just drive right around them, and those days are gone.
Yeah, the horsepower is pretty close on these cars. So does it come down to having the extra horsepower, or is it the clutch, or is there one thing, or is it a combination, a little thing here, a little thing there?
It's a combination of a lot of little things. We're looking at it. We attack everything from the front bumper to the back bumper and top to bottom and side to side. Everything that's in there has to be there for a purpose. Otherwise, it's not part of the solution. It's part of the problem.
I do some work with Ford Racing, so I'm pretty intimately knowing about what they're doing. And I know with the John Force Racing, with their new Mustang, they keep talking about their body and the aerodynamics. I'm assuming you wind up with the same thing. Aerodynamics now is even playing a role in what you're doing going down the drag strip.
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny cars are in the top fuel cars are in a little bit different position than we are aerodynamically. They're just concerned about downforce. They're not concerned about aerodynamic drag, because basically they have more horsepower than they know what to do with at this point in time. We're at the mercy of Mother Nature for letting us have whatever power level we have on any particular weekend, so we have to maximize it, and the aerodynamics is a big part of it. The less power it takes to drive this car through the air, assuming that the aero balance is correct. Now, you can have a car that's aero not very well balanced aerodynamically, and that will give you all kinds of fits trying to get it down the racetrack.
Sounds like you're doing a little running down the drag strip there in the background.
Oh, they're beating on the dyno as we speak. That's why I say this never stops.
Yeah, how much time do you put? I mean, I'm talking to you late in the day in the race shop. Are you at the race shop a lot and spending a lot of time there day in, day out?
Oh, yeah, I'm here about 18 hours a day.
Wow. You don't have a life.
Well, this is my life. I like working. I like creating things. I like doing things. I'm not one that exists on the government dole.
Do you ever look at that R word? I mean, you've been at this a long, long time, or you wouldn't know what to do if you did it.
Well, I'm sure that when that day comes in, it's obviously not that far off in the future. But it's just going to, I'm going to change roles is all I'm going to do. Instead of, actively driving and doing everything else here, I'm going to probably just concentrate on some area. And we'll probably still have a race team with another driver and so forth. So I'll just change a hat is all I'll do.
You know, I look around at this right now, and I find it kind of neat, because I'm north of 50 and working towards that 6-0 mark here in a handful of years, and I see John Force now, 60-plus. He just had a birthday, doing well in funny car. Hector Arada wins the pro bike at the age of 51 last year, and here you're running out there. Doesn't mean this is a young man's sport anymore.
No, age isn't quite as much of a requirement in drag racing as some other more endurance-based sports, such as, you know, the cup racing and so forth. So it's you can get by with a few more years here. As long as your eyesight's good and reactions are adequate, you can still compete.
Time with Warren Johnson here on Pit Pass USA. And Warren, coming up, the next event's in Atlanta. That's where you are. How big of a race weekend will that be for you?
It'll be just as hectic as any other weekend. Other than the fact, there'll be a lot more people that know us out there. So, you know, everybody will stop by and offer their congratulations and so forth. And that's, heartfelt when they do that. So it's something that we enjoy. But at the same time, we still have to pay attention to the business of racing. So it'll be another race, just a lot more familiar faces around.
How much also does it change this year? It's a little later in the year than it was last year. And anybody that's been to Atlanta knows that when you start getting into May, it can suddenly get like 80 degrees and really humid down there.
Oh, it can get humid. And then early on in the spring, we've got all the pollen down here. We've had pollen counts in the 5, 6, 7,000 range. And so that'll play havoc with the track. Temperature-wise, it can vary 30 degrees there, so that's something we just have to deal with when it's there, and we're all in the same boat, so it really doesn't affect us other than we'll go faster or slower or whatever the case may be.
But you have to do a lot of work, don't you, when something like that is going on? I mean, more than maybe the casual fan really realizes what you're doing, chasing the temperatures and the conditions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you've got elevated temperatures and a lot of sunlight, the track surface temperature goes up, the coefficient of friction goes down, so you're not able to perform as well as far as the traction, from the traction side of it. And at the same time, with the elevated temperatures, you know, we're at a loss for horsepower because the air density goes down. As opposed to the fuel car, they just tip the can a little more, you know. And so you're constantly juggling about a dozen balls in the air all the time.
Well, that's what makes it fun, is you try to come up with the right winning combination when you put it all together. It is like winning the lottery.
Absolutely.
Well, Warren, I want to congratulate you again on getting the win at St. Louis, and best of luck in your hometown coming up in Atlanta.
Okay, thank you very much.
That is Warren Johnson, veteran pro stock driver in the NHRA. He is the north side of 60, way north of 60, and still racing out on the drag strip. And they will be in Atlanta this weekend. Well, next up, we'll talk to another NHRA drag racer, Clay Milliken, who runs in the Top Fuel. But, well, you see his race shops in Tennessee, and they were buried underwater recently. We'll talk to him about that next on Pit Pass USA. From IndyCar Racing to PowerBooks to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.
In 1977, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. The odds of that same boy winning the US Open twice? 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Get ready for a show that breaks ground on the subject of women in motorsports and what it takes to dream, believe, achieve. Gas and Go with Allie O is all about the movement that is happening lightning fast in women's racing. You'll get a wide array of perspectives from the drivers to the fans, as well as what it takes to be a role model in a male-dominated sport. Join your host, professional driver Allie Owens, for Gas and Go with Allie O, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network with hunting and fishing info news, talking about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and getting more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific Time for IS Outdoors on the Voice America Sports Channel. With their combined experience of 60 years in the woods, Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they are also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. IS Outdoors offers brisk interaction with the audience, soliciting opinions and questions on a wide range of outdoor subjects. Tune in every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time to the IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Everything motorsports. See it. Breathe it. Feel it. PowerUpChannel.com.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
If you've been watching the news the last week or so, you know about the heavy rains that came down in Tennessee. They had over 12 inches of rain. Nashville flooded the entire area. Well, guess what? The floodwaters have caused havoc, and they're still receding and leaving a lot of destruction behind. And part of that destruction has hit a gentleman that very familiar to the NHRA full-throttle drag racing fans out there. Drives in the top fuel division, and that is Clay Milliken. Clay, welcome. And are you up in the muck and mire all the way up to your waist yet?
Yeah, We have definitely had quite the excitement around here since Saturday morning, and got a phone call around 8 o'clock in the morning, and it was one of those messages like, you need to get to the shop right away. Well, that turned out to be more of a chore than normal. I mean, my house is only about 6 miles away from here, and came down the road to go to the shop. It's a little bridge. It was flooded out, made my way around and eventually made my way here to the shop, and it was not a pretty sight. About 3 feet of water inside the shop building. Our front driveway area kind of slopes, and there was probably 5 feet of water in both of our tractor trucks, some of the guys' cars that work on the race team, one of my cars. I mean, not to mention all the stuff inside the building. And before we even get into many of the details on this, I mean, we've been just sick as I don't know what about, all of our equipment here. But, the poor people around here that have lost houses and everything they own, that way, I certainly feel for all of them. I can understand the cleanup process because we're literally, as you say, waist deep in the middle of it right now. And, man, you would think water, would not be that big a deal, but it sure does make a mess.
Yeah, I actually got drawn to this. I caught a couple of tweets that you had on Twitter, and you posted a picture, and I actually put it on our Facebook fan page for Pit Pass USA, of the parking lot and one of the cabs from your semi. The water's up into the cab, and all you can see from the cars in the parking lot is barely the roof. And there's your race shop sitting right beside him. I said, oh, my God. I mean, the water's got to be above all the equipment and the cars that are sitting in the shop. I mean, this has to be devastating to you.
Oh, it is. It really is. I mean, we were so proud of how nice the shop is. I mean, Mark and Lauren Pickens, that are race team owners, they really let us go crazy. I mean, in the lobby of the shop, a lot of really trick custom cabinets with, race helmets and trophies and pictures. And, I mean, just all the stuff that's, really hard to replace. It's sickening. I mean, me and my wife and our assistant crew chief, Justin Crossland, one of our other guys, Greg Bennett, and we came in the shop while the water was still in here. So basically, we were trying to get some of the files, payroll, the just all the stuff, to make the place run, day-to-day operations. And, computers underwater and all this stuff. While we were in here trying to gather some of that stuff up, it was already underwater, but we were just wanting to hurry up and get it out, so it could start drying, and thinking about keeping all the bills paid. And suddenly the lights started coming on. You know, the printer started going and lights were coming on. It's like, okay, time to get out of here, which, you know, we shouldn't have been in here that quick anyway. But it's just amazing. I mean, we had one brand new Top Fuel car that was complete, race ready, and it was sitting on the floor just on the front wheels, and we got this little dolly deal holding up the back of it. I mean, it was completely covered, and the car that we raced last year was on Projects, so, I mean, you know, it was above the crankshaft, well, basically, just to kind of give you a line of where it was. The water was kind of in that area on the car that we've been racing, and the race trailers, I don't know, all the first toolbox drawers, you know, were full of water. The list goes on and on. I mean, we had, I lost count, 8 or 10 short blocks in our engine building area. They were all underwater. And, I mean, you know, the short block being underwater is not such a big deal until you start thinking about some of the small details, like the head studs and the main studs in all of our engines are made out of a material called H11, which is extremely strong stuff. The downside is, if it gets wet, it's unusable. So, I mean, there's thousands of dollars just in studs, you know, not to mention the time and effort of, you know, taking the motors apart and, you know, completely cleaning and getting them ready to go racing again. I mean, because you can't leave anything, you know, oh, it'll be okay, just had some water in it. Well, everywhere we had water, even if it looked like clean water, when it dries, it's got this silt in it. You know, it's just like sand and, oh, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it is such a crazy thing. I mean, we had, you know, trailers and cars and everything just out in the parking lot, and you're just taking a water hose to your freaking car. You know, it's like, holy crap, you know?
Yeah.
Your street car, you don't think so much about that, but when you're freaking hosing off, you know, race cars and taking drain plugs out of motors and nothing comes out of them for, you know, 2 minutes but water, you know, that's just, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, we're talking to Clay Milliken here on Pit Pass USA. His race shop underwater with the floods down in Tennessee. And Clay, you've not been on the racetrack here in 2010. You were working on sponsorship. You obviously, had a brand new dragster sitting on the race shop floor. What does this do to this entire effort? I mean, you've got to almost start over from scratch, don't you?
It will be a lot of work. I mean, again, you know, Mark and Lauren are just such super people. You know, we've got the team's still on the payroll down here. We were, you know, they were more than ready to go racing at any moment. And, you know, certainly, you know, we've been working on sponsorship extremely hard, and we've been making a little headway there. I mean, you know, certainly don't have, I wish I had some big announcement to make to you, and we were scrambling to get ready to go, you know, to Atlanta, but we're not that far along. But now, yes, you know, if we get some of these things done we're working on, you know, it is going to be a time crunch, and, you know, these guys here are the best in the business as far as I'm concerned, and they will get it done. It's just not our normal thing, you know. We're not, cleanup experts, but we're learning, I assure you of that. I mean, it's just been awesome the way this team can come together when they need to, and I've seen them do it time and time again when we were battling out on the racetrack, and, you know, right now we're just battling time, and I mean that in, you know, chasing rust, basically. You know, we got to get all these parts, you know, cleaned off. You got to put your hand on every one of them and take them apart and give them a little loving and put them back together and make sure that they're good. And so we're kind of, you know, we're not racing in between rounds right now, but we're racing time just to save as much as we can. And the biggest battle to start with, you know, was we had to make the shop where we could work in it. So, I mean, you know, it was like, holy crap, we got all these motors. We got to get them taken apart. But you've got to clean the shop before you can even start on that. And, I mean, you know, it's just, it's a lot of work. And, you know, I've had a lot of people that, you know, have offered their help. And certainly the first day that the water came in the shop, this is a small town. I've lived here my entire life. And I had people showing up that I haven't seen in a while, some that I see all the time, and they freaking just got with it. I mean, the mud that was on the floor was out of here that night. Now, I'm not saying it's clean, but the mud was out, and, you know, here we are Thursday. This happened Saturday morning. We almost have the shop where we can start working. We've had the trailers outside We just basically got inside the trailers and just pressure washed them. I mean, you know, so now you may have the mud out, but now the cleanup is what's left. You know, I mean, the actual cleaning process to where, you know, these things are presentable and race ready. Because, you know, when you go to the racetrack and you see these trucks and trailers, they're always gorgeous, and it takes a lot of work to do that. And so we kind of got a little extra cleanup to do before we're ready to go to the racetrack. But we will be ready, and you know, we're working our tails off to find that sponsor money, and we'll be back out there representing somebody in a big way.
Clay, how do you keep your spirits? I mean, if I had something like that happen to me, I would probably be somewhere with a bottle of Jack Daniels. You know, I mean, how do you keep up?
I know I got people that love me. I mean, I know that sounds kind of corny, but again, back to all the people that came and helped us on Saturday afternoon when the water receded. I mean, you know, it's pretty awesome, the small town thing. You know, I mean, there was people that brought food, and there was people that brought their backs, and they just picked stuff up and moved it, and we cleaned, and, you know, but now we're down to, you know, we got to have just our guys doing it. You know, we've got to, you know, a lot of people that offer their help, but when it comes to the race car parts, we got to have, you know, we got to have our team as the ones that are doing it. And as far as how I keep my spirits up, you know what, again, we didn't lose our houses. You know, we didn't lose people that we love. You know, a lot of people have, you know, they lost everything, and I still get to go to a race car shop and work every day, you know, and it's not as nice as it was last week, but I still get to, I'm doing what I love. I mean, you know, what I really love is driving a race car, but what I'm doing right now is just, you know, something I got to overcome to keep this race team going. And I love Mark and Lauren for sticking in there with us. I mean, poor Mark and Lauren, they had two really nice cars sitting in the parking lot. Mark, luckily, was gone to St. Louis to race in Top Sportsman, and his wife's, I think it's a 2008 or 9, I'm not sure, 911 Turbo sitting in the parking lot. And I was in St. Louis and drove home Friday night. My father-in-law is really sick, and so I wanted to come home and check on, you know, my father-in-law, and then obviously my wife and that side of the family. And so I drove Mark's Cayenne home, and he has a really cool Porsche Cayenne Euro spec twin turbo, you know, fun car to drive home. And I parked it here in the parking lot and got in my old crappy Dodge truck and drove home. And unfortunately, that meant both of their cars were, wow, you know, caught in the floodwaters, and, you know, so it's just nonstop. But, you know, the upside to that is, you know, Mark's toter home and his really, really nice race car was not here. You know, they did lose their everyday drivers, but, you know, that was one more race rig that was not in the shop. So, you know, I'm going to keep my spirits up. I'm going to keep on smiling, and I'm going to find us some sponsor money, and we'll be back out there racing. And I just hope, you know, all the people, I mean, Nashville is just a mess, and there's a little community up the road here that's underwater, you know, worse than we were. We're lucky. I mean, our race shop is in Munford, Tennessee. We're, you know, just north of Memphis, and we got hit really, really hard right in this one little area. The town of Munford was pretty much okay, but, you know, 30, 40 miles up the road, there's a town called Dyersburg. I mean, it's literally like underwater, and the rain's been gone since Saturday, but the water's still rising. You know, the rivers are just full. They're holding all they can, and unfortunately, you know, they're spilling out into people's homes and businesses, and I really don't know what's going on in Nashville. I mean, Nashville's a couple hundred miles away, but I know it's worse there. So I'm going to keep smiling, brother. I can promise you that.
Well, Clay, we wish you the best of luck. It's great that you've still got that upbeat spirit, and I know there's an awful lot of people pulling for you and the entire squad down there.
That's for sure, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate you getting the word out about all these people here in Tennessee that are battling this water, and we appreciate you thinking about us.
That is Clay Milliken, and what a story, huh? Race shop buried underwater, engines, cars, you name it. And he's still upbeat about it. Boy, I know I would not be, and I wasn't kidding. If I had all that happen to me, I would be somewhere with an empty bottle of Jack Daniels by now. But he's still going at it, and some great people, too, it sounds like, around him there in Tennessee. Next up, we'll turn our attention to NASCAR in the Nationwide Series. Colin Brown's been in and out of the 16 car. We'll talk to him next on Pit Pass USA.
You are on the inside track of motorsports drivers and teams. PowerUpChannel.com.
Listen for The Right Turn with J.J. O'Malley. It's an insider's look at America's fastest-growing motorsports series, the Grand-Am Rolex Sports Car Series, presented by Crown Royal Cask No. 16. You'll hear about what happened last weekend and get a preview of what's coming up next. From the Rolex 24 at Daytona through Watkins Glen International, Mid-Ohio, Laguna Seca, right up to the championship at Homestead Miami Speedway. The Right Turn with J.J. O'Malley. Broadcast live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
What's it like behind closed garage doors, where the decisions are made that change motorsports? You'll find out on The Race Reporters, because host Michael Knight has been there. He's a 40-year industry insider and award-winning writer and publicist. Each week, Knight brings together the country's top journalists and newsmakers, and their insights will make you a better race fan. The Race Reporters, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Power up with your favorite motorsport. You're listening to PowerUpChannel.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
My next guest, well, I've gotten to talk to him for the last couple of years plus, because every week, in full disclosure, I talk with him for a feature I do for his sponsor, Conway Freight, which you can find at conwayracing.com. And that is the driver of the number 16 Conway Freight Ford Fusion in the Nationwide Series, Colin Brown. Colin, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, the last couple of weeks, you've been sitting on the sidelines out of the car as Matt Kenseth within. Now you're back in at Dover. Was it tough sitting out for you and getting the word from Jack Roush, hey, I'm going to sit you down. Nothing, it's your fault, really, because of the accident you got all involved with, but we got to put Matt in the car, get some sponsorship, and try to turn things around?
Well, it's tough for any, I think, race car driver that gets, you know, sat down for a couple of races. Being that's what you do and that's what you love doing, it's always tough, but I feel like there's a lot of positives to take out of it. I feel like I've learned a lot over the whole process. And, you know, Jack Roush has a lot of experience in developing young drivers, and he felt like I could learn more and would be more beneficial for sitting out for a couple of races and watching a cup champion like Matt, you know, I could learn more from. So, you know, I support his decision and obviously want to get back in the race car and get back to doing what I love to do.
How tough, though, is it on a young driver like yourself when you see even veterans at times getting yanked out of cars or losing their rides and, you know, you're sitting there still trying to establish yourself after a couple of great years in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series?
Well, it's tough. You know, it's a tough business and it's a tough sport, and that's why it's really great to have some great sponsors behind me like Conway Freight and 3M. You know, those guys have been behind me ever since we started out in the Truck Series, so they've been really good, people to have and great people to have around me. So, you know, it's a tough business and it's just part of business, and, you know, that's the way the that NASCAR racing is. It's a tough deal.
And also, the racing is not always about the talent. A lot of times, it's also involved with luck or positioning on the right place of the racetrack. And as I mentioned, the accident you were involved with earlier, even Matt Kenseth last week at Darlington, not of his own making. It can happen to anyone, but it seemed like a lot of those were happening to you, and it kind of, people go, oh, look, he crashes, and, you know, the public may be questioning your driving ability, but that's not the problem.
Well, you know, everybody's got their own opinions on every different incident, you know, I feel like a lot of the ones we've been in, we've just had some bad luck. We've had some really good runs going,
with the number 16 Conway Freight Ford Fusion. And, you know, they just haven't panned out for us. We've seemed to get caught up in an accident or get, you know, wrecked by somebody. But, you know, that's the way this sport goes. You'll have weeks where you feel like you're invincible and, you know, nothing can go bad. And you'll have weeks where it just seems like everything goes bad. So hopefully we get all that cleaned out of the system and you know, the rest of the year will be in good shape.
What has Jack Roush talked to you about?
Well, you know, he's been a big supporter and you know, he's been a guy that's been behind me ever since I started driving for him. And, you know, he's got so much experience and he's seen so many different things within the sport that he's been able to provide a lot of different feedback and, you know, opinions you know, advice and things like that, which is really helpful. And it's neat to have somebody with that much experience, you know, kind of helping tell you what to do and, you know, throwing some ideas out there for you.
And maybe most people don't know, but he actually put you back in the shop. Now, he did this during your years driving in the truck series and actually have you work in the shop, and you've been doing that for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I have. He did that last year as well. So definitely got a chance to see what goes on to build these race cars and put these cars together and fix them when they do get wrecked. So I feel like that's been a good experience. And, you know, every time I go back in there, you learn a little bit more about what goes on to make these race cars you know, fast and make them, you know, able to go on the racetrack week in and week out and do what they do, because there's so many different components and pieces and parts and so much preparation that goes into getting these vehicles to the racetrack that, you know, a lot of it, I think, a lot of people take for granted.
Tell the people exactly what you've been doing in the shop and what your day's like.
Well, pretty much they start out work at 6:30. They work 6:30 to 5:30 in Concord, and I've been working in the finish fab department, so I've been pretty much building, you know, all kinds of different little pieces for the car that finish it off, you know, from side skirts and crush panels, you know, to roof flaps and roof rails, all the little pieces, you know, once the chassis gets built and the body gets hung on it, that kind of go to finish the car up, all the, you know, the little fine detail work that makes it from kind of a crude race car to a race car that's ready to go to the racetrack.
Kellen, what about this weekend going to the Monster Mile at Dover? What do you look forward to?
Well, I'm just looking forward to getting back in the car and getting to work with all these guys on my team again, and I feel like it's going to be a good weekend. Dover's been a good track for us in the past in the truck series, and I really enjoy racing there. So I think we're going to have a good run and hopefully get back up in the top 30 in points.
Kellen, good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
That is Colin Brown, the number 16 nationwide car for Roush Fedway. Started the season in it, been out the last two races. Conway was only a partial sponsor of the year. Matt Kenseth in. Matt crashed last week. Darlington, they thought they were going to get the top 30 points. And he's been working in the fab shop, which is kind of interesting. They give him the tool back. Jack Roush has given him the toolbox and said, you got to figure out you know, what it takes to put these cars together, even though the accidents weren't his fault. So it's kind of interesting there. Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the program tonight. Hopefully you liked it. Love to hear from you. You can drop me an email. It's very simple, LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Also, suggestions on guests. In fact, I've gotten some recently and going to have a couple of those next week. We're going to have Brian Hurd on, who's running both at Indy Lights, and he'll have an IndyCar team down at Indianapolis. Johnny Sauter is going to be a guest next week. Matt Crafton, who's also going to be running the ARCA race weekend after this down in Toledo on top of the truck series. So that's going to be interesting. But Larry Henry at PitPassUSA.com. You can also follow me at Twitter, which is at PitPassUSA. Our Facebook fan page, you need to go there. It's PitPassUSA with Larry Henry. Got some videos that I put up there from our trip down to Phoenix International Raceway a few weeks ago. And a couple of them, one's with the head of Ford Racing. The other is the group manager for NASCAR from GM Racing. You can find out exactly what they do. Also, sit down with Kyle Petty. Kind of interesting there. And don't forget my blog, exhaustfumes.wordpress.com. You can check that all out. And don't forget also tomorrow night, the race reporters with Mike Knight. Ari Leyendijk, one of the nicest persons in the world, is going to be on. I remember when he drove the Provimi Veal car. I'm old. I remember these things. But Ari is one of the really good guys in racing, and he is going to be a guest on Mike's Race Reporters show. And again, next week, as I told you, Brian Hurd is going to be aboard, Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton. I'd like to thank the guests tonight, John Andretti, who we wish a lot of luck down in Indianapolis, Warren Johnson, Clay Milliken, who's been fighting that water down in Tennessee at his race shop, and Colin Brown. Really want to thank you, because without you, this show is not possible. And if you missed it tonight,
or you want your friends to listen, don't forget you can go to my host page at the Power Up channel, or we're also available on iTunes, so you can listen anytime, and I'm sure you want to hear this show over and over again. Until next week, go to your local racetrack, take in a race this weekend, and we will see you right back here next Tuesday on Pit Pass USA.
For this week, time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.